Okay, we're starting here by the two dots on Vavam and Aleph. The Gemara says, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol. In our Mishnah, it says that they sequestered the Kohen Gadol. Gemara says, Lama Mafrishim? Why do we sequester the Kohen Gadol? Gemara says, Lama Mafrishim? Why is that even a question? We just went through a whole set of dapim that discussed this. Kid Amrinan, either Rabbi Yochanan Kiditlei, either Reish Lakish Kiditlei. We already explained this depending on whose opinion you follow. If it's Rabbi Yochanan's position, then it's premised on the Miluim. And if it's Reish Lakish's opinion, it's premised on Har Sinai, or the entrance into the Machaneh Shechinah. So what type of question this is? Ahachi Kamar. This is the question. Mi Beito Lama Pirash. Why does he separate from his house here being euphemistic for his wife? Why does he have to be sequestered from his wife? He is in the Lishkat Palhedrin. The Lishkat Palhedrin, according to Rashi, is not Kodesh. Because it's not Kodesh, that's why the Kohen is allowed to sleep there and to stay there, because if it was part of the Kedushat HaAzarah, he wouldn't be able to live there during that week prior to Yom HaKippurim, because we have a principle that is En Yeshiva Ba'Azarah L'Machud Be David. There's nobody's allowed to sit in the Azarah except for the kings from the lineage of David. So that means that certainly you can't sleep there. So Rashi says it must be that the Lishkat Palhedrin is not Kadosh, and because of that he could stay there and live there. If that's the case, why can't his wife also stay there with him? That's one way to approach it. Later on in the Masechta Tosafot, it also discusses the status of Lishkat Palhedrin. It's not clear whether it's Kadosh or partly Kadosh or what its status is. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, even if you say that the Lishkat Palhedrin doesn't have a status of Azara, it still has the status of Harabait. And Harabait, we know that a Baal Keri is not allowed to come into the Harabait. So why are you suggesting over here that he should be able to have his wife there with him in the Lishkat Palhedrin? Having his wife there will add no benefit because he can't become a Baal Keri anyway. So Tosafot says, all right, instead of putting him in the Lishkat Palhedrin, why don't we put him in one of the tunnels that is up on Harabait, which was Lonit Kadesh, so it doesn't have Kedushat Harabait, doesn't have Kedushat Azara, and then he can stay there with his wife. So the basic premise of the question of the Gemara is, why are we sequestering him from his wife? We understand why we're sequestering him in general, whether it's the requirements before you go into Machaneh Shechinah, or whether it's from the Limud by the Miluim. Nevertheless, why does he have to separate from his wife? So the answer is, Tanyo, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteiro Omer, Shema Timtza Ishto Sofek Nida. This is the Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteiro that we brought earlier to explain why there was a separation of 7 days instead of the 6 days that happened by Har Sinai. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteiro says that maybe his wife will be a Sofek Nida, Ve'avoela. Then he'll have intercourse with her. If that's the case, he would become a Boel Nida. And Boel Nida is Tamei for Shivat Yamim for 7 days. Rashi says, Atu B'Rishia Yaskinan? We're talking about a Kohen Gadol here. We're not talking about people that are Rishayim, that his wife is a Safek Nida, that he's going to have Biyah with her. Ela Shema Yavo Alishto V'Timtza Safek Nida. Not that he knew prior to being engaged with her that she was a Nida or a Safek Nida. It's after the fact we have the problem of Safek Nida, which is that after they are together, she discovers that she has some dam. So now, based on that, we have a problem now, because then he might become a safek boel nida. And if he's a safek boel nida, he's tamei for shivat yamim. So Gemara says, Amru Rabbanan kamei de Rav Chisda. The Rabbanan said over this answer to Rav Chisda, come on, who is this like? Ki Rabbi Akiva. It's like Rabbi Akiva. Damar nida mitamad vola. That the nida affects her husband. Di Rabbanan, because if it's according to the Shita Rabbanan, Hamrei, enin da mitama et vola. They already say that it doesn't affect the husband. Now this is premised on a Gemara in Masechet Nida. The Gemara in Masechet Nida, in the beginning, the first Mishnah Nida discusses this, that once a woman is Tamei Tumat Nida, the Rabbanan instituted that she's also Tmeyam 8 to 8, that means 24 hours retroactively. Retroactively, we assume that if she saw the sighting of the Nida today, that it already started 24 hours earlier, and therefore all Taharot that she came into contact with in the last 24 hours have a status of Tumah. We give a retroactive Tumah for 24 hours. Over there, the Gemara discusses that that's only true by Taharot. That is not true with regards to her husband. With regards to her husband, that retroactive 24 hours has no impact because it's of Chumrah of the Rabbonon, and we say that's true by Taharot. We're not going to say that by the husband. Then, later on in Masechet Nida, there is a Mishnah that discusses what happens if, after a husband and wife are together, the wife then does a check. There the Gemara discusses about checking prior to having Biyah and after having Biyah. If she does a check afterwards and she finds Dam after they've been together, what is the status of the husband who was together with his wife? So over there, the Gemara discusses three different periods of time. The first period of time is of immediately. If immediately after they are together she checks and there is Dam on the aid that she's using, then the husband is for sure tamei as a boel nida, and he also is chayav to bring a korban chatat for violating the isur of being together with a nida. Then there's a second stage, which is the amount of time it takes her for her to get off the bed, move down to the floor and do a check. If then she finds dam on the eid at that point in time, then we say that there is a safek here, meaning that the husband is a safek bol nida, and therefore he has to deal with that as a safek. It's not an absolute bol nida here, because there's a chance that the dam came afterwards, because there was a little bit of a cessation between the time they finished the bia and her discovery of the dam. So it's possible that he was not bol nida, and then it'd be treated as a fake bol nida. If beyond that period of time she does the check and finds dam, over there, the husband is totally clear. There's no issue with the husband. With regards to Ta'arot, we say it still has that retroactive 24-hour period. Now that happens to be that last period of time, that third period of time, happens to be machloket between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, in that third period of time, if she is doing the check and finds dam, then it only affects Ta'arot retroactively for 24 hours. Her Bo'alad, her husband, is not affected by that whatsoever. He's not even a safek bo'al nida. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva believes during that period of time, he still has a din of a safek bo'al nida. So what? So these Rabbanan suggest over here is that this opinion that we worry about him being a safek bo'al nida or bo'al nida must be according to Rabbi Akiva, because he's the one who says that the husband is affected by it. Dei Rabbanan, because if it's the position of the Rabbanan, Amrei ein nida mitamad bola. The Rabbanan believe that the nida does not have effect retroactively on her husband. So these Rabbanan that proposed that explanation in front of Rav Chista, Rav Chista responds to them and says, "Afilu teimer Rabbanan." It could be according to Rabbanan too. Arkan lo pligi Rabbanan leid Rabbi Akiva lo ba'achar achar. The only time that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Akiva is when you've already taken two stages away from immediately after Bia, aval bechadachar, if it's only one stage removed, modulei, they agree with Rabbi Akiva. As we discussed before, there are three stages where the woman could possibly do the check. One check is immediately after the Bia, the Gemara there discusses what that timing is. There, everybody agrees that he's a vadei bol nida if she finds dam on the eid. Then there's this achar zman, which is the amount of time it takes her to come off the bed, to sit down and do the check. That makes him into a safek bo'al nida, and that's both according to Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. That's what's called achar zman, after a little time. Then there's achar zman, which is that third period of time, which is removed even further. If it's more time than we just described over here, that's where you have the machloket Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim as to whether there's impact on the husband. According to the Chachamim, the husband is totally tahor, he's not even a safek bo'al nida. Whereas for Rabbi Akiva, he's still a safek bo'al nida in that period of time. So what Rav Chisda says back to Rabbanon, you can still have a possibility here of him being a safek bo'al nida according to the Chachamim. If, after this Kohen Gadol was together with his wife, she did a check after she came off the bed and did that check, then even according to the Chachamim, he's considered to be a safek bo'al nida, and that would preclude him from doing the avodah on Yom HaKippurim. So it doesn't have to be authored by Rabbi Akiva. It could be even according to the Rabbanan, you run into this problem of safek bo'al nida. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Shma Minah, from this you must conclude that bo'al nida eino k'nida, that a bo'al nida does not have the same din as a nida, v'tovel b'yom, and he goes to the mikveh during the day. Now in the parsha in Vayikra that discusses nida and bo'al nida, the bo'al nida attains the same status basically as a nida. He's tamei for shiva yamim, just like a nida is tamei for shiva yamim, and then the level of tumah is similar. Happens to be because of some mi'utim that the nida actually has a higher level of tumah than a bo'al nida. But one of the things that is unique about a nida, it's also true of a yoledet, we'll see that later, is that she goes to the mikveh at night. Every other person who is tamei, or woman that is tameah, goes to the mikveh during the day. They go to the mikveh on the last day of their tumah, and then when Harav Shemesh, when the sun sets on that final day, they are completely tehorim. The exception to that rule is a nida. A nida, according to the Torah, is tameah for shiva yamim, for 7 days, from the time that she has a sighting of dam. Then she is tamei for 7 days, including the day that she has the sighting, even though that's not a full day. After she completes the full 7 days b'tum'ah, then she goes to mikveh that night, the night after the seventh day is complete. So the nida is an exception in that way, that she goes to the mikveh at night. So what Rabbi Zeira suggests over here is, from our Gemara, we must conclude that a bo'al nida is different than a nida. A nida can't go to the mikveh until after the 7 days of tum'ah, that night afterwards. Whereas a bo'al nida on his seventh day of tum'ah would actually go to the mikveh and then become tahor at the Harav Shemesh when the sun sets on that seventh day. How does he know that? He knows that from the way that we are sequestering the Kohen Gadol. Because we are sequestering the Kohen Gadol here for 7 days. Therefore, if there was a possibility, based on the way we're sequestering him, is that he was together with his wife right before he went into the sequester, and that means he could have possibly become a bol nida at that moment. Well, if he became a bol nida at that moment, right before he went into the sequester, 7 days would not be sufficient for him to become tahor by Yom HaKippurim. Because if he had to go to the mikveh after the completion of the 7 days, on the night afterwards, that means he would go to the mikveh on the night of Yom Kippur. And then he won't have his hair of Shemesh till after the day of Yom Kippur. And he would be precluded from doing the avodah on Yom HaKippurim. So it must be that the Kohen Gadol, the fact that we only sequester him for 7 days, shows you that a bol nidah goes to the mikveh on the 7th day during the day. And therefore, on the sunset of the 7th day, which would be Erev Yom HaKippurim, he'll go to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. The sun sets then on Yom Kippur, he's already tahor. So that's what Rabbi Zeira says, I can prove from the fact that we only sequester him for 7 days and no more. So that's what I read now inside of the Gemara. Di amar d'bol nidah ki nidah. If you say that a bol nidah has the same din as a nidah, emat tavil bililya, then when would he go to the mikveh? At night. L'machar hechi avir avodah. If he goes to the mikveh at night, meaning the night of Yom Kippur, then how does he do avodah the next day on Yom Kippur? Vabai harib shemesh. He needs the sun to set, and the sun won't set for him until after Yom Kippur is over. Alav shmamina bol nidah enok nidah. For the fact that we only sequester the Kohen Gadol for 7 days, and premised on Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says we separated him from his wife for those 7 days because of this problem of bol nidah, that means that we don't worry about bol nidah if it happened immediately before he went into sequestration. So based on that, I have a proof that a bol nidah must be able to go to the mikveh on the 7th day and not at the night after the 7th day like a nidah. Rav Shimi min Arda amar afilu tema bol nidah ki nidah. I don't think there's necessarily a proof from our Gemara over here. Even if you say that a bol nidah has the same din as a nidah, I can solve your problem and just say that, yes, he's only sequestered for 7 days, but we pull him away from his wife 1 hour before that. We don't allow him to be together for the last hour of the day before that we're going to sequester him. We don't allow him to be together with his wife. If that's the case, then even if he was a safek bol nidah, or if he was a bol nidah right before he entered into the sequester, the 1st day would be that hour before he enters into the 7 days of being sequestered. And so since that would count as the 1st day, his 7th day would turn out to be not on Erev Yom Kippur, but the day before. That means if he went to mikveh at night, the night would be already the beginning of Erev Yom Kippur. By the time the sun set into Yom Kippur, then he would be tahor. So by just adding on 1 hour to the 7th day of sequestering, that's enough to prevent this problem from happening. Why does the Mishnah only say 7 days? Because it's an hour. It's not 7 days and another day. It's 7 days and 1 hour. So they just rounded it off to 7 days. So based on that, Rav Shimi min Arda believes that a bo'el nidah has the same din as a nidah, against what Rabbi Zeira suggested before, that a bo'el nidah is different than the din of nidah. Now we're going to bring Bright out to see what is the right way to look at this. Anybody who has to go to the mikveh goes to the mikveh during the day. Nida violetet, tvilatan balayla. And nida, as we've discussed until now, goes to the mikveh at night, may not go into the mikveh during the day. That's because Sukkim and the Torah say that he has to be tmeah for a full 7 days. Full 7 days means includes miksat hayom kikulo of the 1st day. But a full 7 days she's tmeah, and then she may only afterwards go to the mikveh. Yoledet, in the parsha of the yoledet, in the beginning of Tazria, it says, kimei nidat dvota. That she has the same status. A yoledet has the same status as a nidah. So since she has the same status of a nidah, she also has that same din with regards to being tmeah for the entire 7 days for a male, or 14 days for a female, and only may go to the mikveh after the completion of those days at night. But everybody else, including a zava gedola, can go to the mikveh during the day on the last day of their tumah, and then the sun sets, and they are tahorim that night. So the Gemara says, nida in, bol nida lo. From the Braita, it sounds like the only exceptions to the rule are nida and yoledet. I don't see bol nida in that list. The Gemara says, no, nida b'cho da'ati mi ribuya. Nida doesn't mean just nida, it means nida and anybody else who is ancillary to the din of nida. And that includes a bol nida. So that's when she says nida, it means nida plus bol nida. Meitevei, we bring another braita. Balkari kemaga sheretz. A balkari has the same din as touching a sheretz. A sheretz has tumat yom, and so does a balkari have tumat yom. That means on the same day that you became tamei from coming into contact with the sheretz, or becoming a balkari, you go to the mikveh, the sun sets on that day, then you are tahor. Bol nidah ketamei meit. A bol nidah has the same din as a tamei meit. Just like a tamei meit is tamei for 7 days, so too a bol nidah is tamei for 7 days. In my love, why are you comparing these items? Why are you saying that a balkari has a din like a sheretz, and a bol nidah has a din like a tamei meit? My love, what is that coming to teach us? The tvila? Isn't it coming to teach us that they have the same din in terms of mikveh? Just like a tamei meit goes to the mikveh on the 7th day, so to a bol nidah goes to the mikveh on the 7th day. Doesn't wait until nightfall. Where it says, lo, the tumatan. To tell you that they have the same din of tumah, as I explained before, that a sheretz and a balkari are tumat yom. and a bonida and tamimeter are tumat shiva. Gemara says, that? Tumatan be'edyaktiv b'hu. Why do I need you to tell me that in a braita? Those are explicit in the psukim. Hai tumat shiva aktiv be'y, v'hai tumat shiva aktiv be'y. Tamimei tez explicitly in Parshat Chukat that it's tamei for 7 days. And the bonida in the Parshat Mitzorah also has a clear indication that it's tamei for 7 days. So why do you need a braita to tell me that they have the same din? Elalat vilatan. Again, it must be to teach you this din of tefillah, that a bo nida has the same din as tefillah as a tamei meit. Not like a nida. You can do it during the day, not at night. And this would be against that position of Rav Shimi Minarda. Mer says, no. The olam tumatan. You're right. The ratio of the braita is unnecessary. The tuma, we would have known that from the psukim, but the braita puts it together anyway because of the latter half of the braita, which we do need. Just say for its trichale. Ela, shachamur mimeno bo nida. It comes to tell you the latter half of the Mishnah, which tells you, yes, the bo nida has tumat shiva like a tamei meit, but his tuma is more chamur than the tuma of a tamei meit. And that is that there are different gradations of tuma in terms of the person who is tamei. You have a tamei meit, then you have something like a bo nida who is on a higher level, and then above that is even a zava and a mitzora who have even higher levels of tuma. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that bo nida is compared to a tamei meit and saying, yes, they're both 7 days of tuma. They're doing that to compare them in that way and to say they're similar in this way because of the contrast in the Sefer, which says they're not similar in this additional item. And that is when it comes to tuma tamei, the individual can convey the tuma only through contact. The person contacts the object, that object then becomes a rishon the tuma. A tuma tamate, someone who has tuma tamate is an ava tuma. He can convey his tuma to another object as a rishon the tuma. The exception to that is if he comes into contact with metal, then it might be that it retains the same tuma as him is ava tuma. But anything, any other object he touches is rishon the tuma, and that object, if it touches something else, makes it sheni the tuma. So on and so forth, depending in which areas we're talking about, chulin, kodashim, tuma, how far down the scale it goes. But that's the only way to convey the tuma from a tumata mate is through contact. On the other hand, when it comes to someone like a nida or a zava, they also have what's called mishkav and moshav. Mishkav and moshav is a tuma by which, if they are sitting or laying on an object, they convey tuma to that object that they're on, of course, because they're touching it, but any object that's below it. So if you have 10 mattresses that are piled up on top of each other, and the nida is laying on the top mattress, she conveys her tuma not only to the top mattress, but to all the mattresses that are down below. That's called the mishkava, or moshava. What the level of tuma of those objects are, is what we're discussing over here. As far as a nida is concerned, she actually makes them into an avha tuma. And that, if a person comes into contact with one of those mattresses, they'd actually become tamei. Because avha tuma can be mitamei adam vikelim. A rishon tuma can only be mitamei ochlin umashkim. And therefore, a zava and a nida, their mishkav and moshav are on a high enough level of tuma that if a person comes into contact with that mattress or that mishkav or that moshav, they would actually become tamei. On the other hand, when it comes to a bol nida has the same din as a nida of mishkav and moshav, but not to the same extent. That is that the mishkav and the moshav of the bol nida drops down a level in tuma. It doesn't have the same level as them, as an avatuma, but rather it's only a rishon tuma. It can only be metamei ochlim mashkim. So what the braita lays out for us is that a bo nida is above the level of a tamei meit, because he does have an impact of mishkav and moshav. A bo nida sits above tamei meit, because he's able to create mishkav and moshav. Yet he's still below a nida and a mitzorah, because his mishkav and moshav doesn't come up to the level where it can be metamei adam. It can only be metamei ochlim mashkim. So what the Gemara here says is that we need the latter half of the Braita to teach us about this difference between Bo Nida and Tamei Meit. The first half, you're right, is unnecessary, but the second half is necessary. And as Tosavot points out, there are certain things about a Tamei Meit that are more chamur than a Bo Nida as well, and he says maybe that's in that Braita. We don't know where this Braita is from. Maybe that Braita also had the other side, which is where a Tamei Meit is more chamur than a Bo Nida. From here, we can't prove anything with regards to the tvila of a bol nida. Tashma, and we bring another braita, the Tani Rabbi Chia, Hazav, Ve'azava, Hamitzora, Ve'mitzorat, U'bol nida. Tamimet, Tvilatan, Biyom. Over here, we have a braita that's explicit, that when it comes to all of these tumult, their tvila is during the day, included in that list is a bol nida. Davi Olede, Tvilatan, Be'layla. Their tvila is at night, Tuyufta. This undermines the proposal that Rav Shimi Ben Arda had made here, which is the possibility that Bol Nida has the same din as a Nida, and we can't prove anything from our Mishnah over here. Here we have an explicit braita that says that's not the case, and that Bol Nida is different than a Nida, And that's the conclusion here of the Gemara, that Bol Nida can go to the mikveh during the day, whereas a Nida cannot go to the mikveh during the day, but must go in the evening subsequent to her 7 days of Tum'ah. So the Gemara says, V'aja tam afrishomi tumat beito, afrishomi tumat ameit. I don't understand. So now you're sequestering him from his wife, so I don't have a problem of tumat Nida. Why don't we sequester him from any contact with individuals? Because he become a tamei tumat meit. So Amar Rav Tachlifa, vua de Rav Huna, mishmei de Rova, of Tachlifa, the father of Rav Huna, says in the name of Rava, zot omeret. From this you conclude that tumat meit hutrahi b'tzibur. That tumat meit is not necessarily a problem when it comes to korbanot ha'tzibur. This is a principle we'll discuss much more extensively in tomorrow's daf as well, which is that there is a concept that tuma, with regards to the tzibur, is overridden when we deal with karbonot tzibur or karbonot that are kavod lehem zman. This is derived from the Gemara and Pesachim, from the Psukim by Pesach. By Pesach, it says that ish nidchei. If someone is a tamei meit, he's pushed off the Pesach sheni. From this, the Gemara concludes that only an individual is pushed off, but the tzibur is not pushed off. So if there's tuma of a meit, but tzibur, it's overridden, and we do the performance of that avoda despite the fact that there's tuma tamei here. Now, there are two formulations of that heter. One is tuma hutra b'tzibur, that it's completely mutar. We don't even try to do it betara. We have full permission to violate tuma when it comes to issues of the tzibur. On the other hand, there's another formulation which is tuma dechuya b'tzibur. That tuma is dechuya b'tzibur means that we can push away tuma where necessary, but if we have an alternative or if we have a way to prevent it, then we will at least try to do that to prevent it. So what we're seeing from this, based on Rav Tachlifa, is from our Gemara, we would conclude that tuma hutra b'tzibur, because we're not taking precautions to protect the Kohen Gadol from coming to Mei. He's the only one who can perform the avoda on Yom HaKippurim. And so therefore, it will be under this rubric of, quote-unquote, tuma hutra b'tzibur, and allow him to perform the avoda on Yom HaKippurim if he's Tamei Meit. But the fact that we don't take any precautions and stop him from possibly coming to Tamei Meit means that we don't try. It's hutra b'tzibur. If you need to violate tuma b'tzibur, that's fine. We don't ask you to take extra precautions. We don't ask you to prevent it from happening. So that's what he says. The conclusion from our Gemara is that we're worried about him being sequestered from his wife and not being sequestered from interaction with people shows you that tuma hutra b'tzibur. So Ravina Amar, afilu tuma meit tuchuyahi b'tzibur. Now, I could even say that from our Gemara or our Mishnah, there's no conclusion that tuma hutra b'tzibur might be dechuya. And we do take measures to prevent it. But tuma tameit lo shchicha. Tuma tameit is a very uncommon occurrence. That suddenly somebody will fall dead when he's in contact with the Kohen Gadol, that's a rare occurrence. That doesn't happen, rarely happens, and probably never happens. Tuma beito shchicha. That his wife will become a nida, that's a frequent occurrence. And the fact that you possibly will be nida, that's much more of a possibility or a likelihood than tumat meit. So we're not talking about here in terms of sequestering from his wife where there is a high likelihood of a problem if she becomes a nida. On the other hand, we don't sequester him from people because the likelihood of someone dropping dead when he's in contact with them is very rare, and therefore it's not that we didn't take any precautions. It's just not a precaution that we even enter into our minds to take because it's so far-fetched. So now we discuss this in a more general topic, which is itmar. Tumata meit. When it comes to tumata meit, Rav Nachman Amar Hutrahi b'tzibur, it's totally mutar in the tzibur, like we expressed before, which is that even when you have choices, we're going to let you do it, because there's no reticence in performing any avodat tzibur when you have tumay meit. On the other hand, Rav Sheshan Amar Duchuyahi b'tzibur, yes, we allow for dispensations where necessary, but if we have other options or other ways to prevent it, then we're going to take those precautions or those other options. So Mara says, Hey Chadika tumayim utorim b'ha'u beit av. In a case where that Beit Av, that family was serving on that day, and amongst them there are some that are Tamei Meit, some that are Tehorim, Kuli Amo Lo Plige, nobody argues the Tehorim Avde, Tamei Lo Avde, that the Tehorim do the Avoda, and the Tameim sit out, because there's no reason not to have the Tehorim do it. On the other hand, Ki Plige, where do they argue the Hadure Latuya Tehorim Beit Av Achrina? What happens if the entire Beit Av is Tamei? Do we ask you now to go get another Beit Av to fill in and to take over to do it Betara? Or do you let this Beit Av do it Betuma? Rav Nachman says, no problem, Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, let this Beit Av, it's their day, they're all Tmei Meit, let them do the Avoda, it's Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. And Rav Sheshet says you do have an alternative, you can call in the other Beit Av, you can call in the backups. If that's the case, then we're not going to allow you just to run over the Avoda here and not worry about Tuma Tmei Meit. We're going to tell you, please go get this alternative Beit Av to do the Avoda B'tahara. That's the machloka between them. Nachamar Heter Hi B'tzibur, it's totally mutar, V'lo Madrinam, we don't go try to find other people to do it. No, we allow it where it's absolutely necessary, but if not, mehadrina, we try to find alternatives, like here, where we can find other people to do it, bitara. Ikadamri, some even say that afilu echadika torim b'tmeim b'hu beit av, polig Rav Nachman. That Rav Nachman will disagree even in a case where you have a beit av that's mixed between tameim and torim, that he'll say anybody can do it. If you're tamei and it's your turn to work in the mikdash, you can go ahead. It's tuma hutra b'tzibur. Amri avdei nami tameim. That even the tameim can do it in that case. Dechol tumat meit b'tzibur rachmana sharia. Tumat meit basically does not exist when it comes to the karbanot tzibur. So here again, when it has to do with karbanot tzibur. These are karbanot that are bought by all of Kalal Yisrael. The karbanot of Yom HaKippurim, even though some of them involve the Kohen Gadol, but since the whole Seder Yom HaKippurim is Ma'akev, then even the private karbanot of the Kohen Gadol, we have a machloket whether he has to buy them or the Tzibur buys them, but even if you say that he has to buy them, nevertheless, they still have the status of karbanot at Tzibur because they have Kavu Lahem Zman, they have a fixed time to do it. They're part of a larger Seder Ayom that is necessary, and therefore they have a classification of karbanot at Tzibur. And it's a difference whether we say Tuma Hotra B'Tzibur or Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. How we treat that. Do we just say we don't worry about it at all? If he's Tamei Meit, he'll just do the Avoda. Or we say we try to take preventative measures. We try to do alternatives instead of having him do the Avoda B'Tuma Tameit. And that's the machloket here between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. What's interesting here that Tosafot notes this is that in the Gemara in Zvachim, it says there Abai and Rava both agree that Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. That too much the Chuyah B'Tzibur. Yet, over here, when we have the statement from Rav Huna, it's Rav Huna Mishmei the Rava that says Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur. Over here, it sounds like Rava says Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur, not the Chuyah B'Tzibur. So Tosafot differentiates and says that in general, maybe Rava believes Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur. But there, the Gemara in Zvachim is talking about the Korban HaPesach. And with regards to the Korban HaPesach, it is brought B'Tuma. Despite the fact that the Korban HaPesach is a Korban Yachid, it does have Kavu Lo Zman, so it is brought B'Tuma. Now that is unusual. The Gemara there and here and later on in Yoma tells us that's because it's brought b'knufaya. It's brought all together in the multitudes. Everybody's doing the same thing at the same time. So it attaches to it a certain status of korban tzibur. Despite that it's yichidim or families that are bringing it, it still attains the status of korban tzibur because everybody is doing it together at the same time. Korban Pesach, interestingly enough, has that interesting status of sitting somewhere between a korban yachid and a korban tzibur, and that's probably intentionally. There's a lot to say hashkafically about that, but in terms of our case over here, what Tosafot differentiates is and says that even one who holds a tuma hutra b'tzibur by korbanot tzibur with regard to korban pesach will say tuma dechuya b'tzibur, because the hetter by korban pesach is not a real korban tzibur. It's an effective or as if korban tzibur, and there everybody will agree that it's dechuya b'tzibur and not hutra b'tzibur because you have a lower status of Korban Tzibur with regards to the Korban of the Korban HaPesach versus a real full-fledged Korban HaTzibur. So despite the fact that Rov over here wants to say Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur, over there by Pesach he will agree that it's Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with this discussion between Rav Sheshet and Rav Nachman as to whether Tuma is Dechuya B'Tzibur or Tuma is Hutra B'Tzibur and all the implications of that. With regards to what type of measures you have to take, whether you have to take up the alternatives of using Torim versus using Tameim, and whether you have to take preventative measures in order to prevent Tuma Tameit, or is Tuma Tameit totally Hutra B'Tzibur? We don't take preventative measures, we don't ask for Torim to come when there are Tameim available to do it, just like we saw over here. Obviously this has application to the upcoming holiday of Hanukkah, because over there, when they found the oil that was Tahor, then all the Rishonim asked, wasn't it Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur? Why were they looking for oil that was Tahor? A lot of Torah with regards to Chanukah, but it derives from this question about Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur and Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. Okay, we'll stop over here.